Here's a deep fly ball, right field. And Reynolds leaps up, and it's gone. Just out of his reach, over the wall in right field. Josh Naylor hits his sixth home run, a two-run shot, making it 5-0 Arizona.
And that was the final score last night. Pirates shut out for the ninth time this season. They have been shut out in a quarter of their losses. And things had been looking up. I mean, they let one get away at the end of the Brewers series. They looked like they were going to win that series 3-1 after beating the Reds 2 out of 3. And the vibes were kind of good. Like, they're not turning this season around. Don't misconstrue this. The Pirates aren't going to go on some miraculous run. Nothing like that. They're not going to contend for the postseason or finish above 500, you wouldn't think. But I thought it was a refreshing series against Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that it was fun against the Reds. The Pirates were, for two series, watchable. And then last night happens, and all the feels get kind of flushed down the toilet. Just another shutout loss. And in this one, you have a bases-loaded situation with nobody out, and you can't score. You had O'Neal Cruz lead off the game with a double, and you can't push him across. You had two prime scoring situations, including that bases-loaded no-out sitch, and you don't score, nine times being shut out, and it is Memorial Day, the day after Memorial Day, and you've been shut out nine times. How the hell does Ben Cherington still have a job?
That beats me. Beats me. For me, it's about how they play and not necessarily the wins and losses.
Yeah.
And they've done that, at least for the most part, since Donnie Kelly has been named manager. But I also wasn't going to get too high with Donnie Kelly-led Pirates because they are going to have games like they did yesterday. Like, I just told myself that there's going to be a bad game or two or three or four or five. There's going to be bad games, but how do they play in those games that they do win or keep it close? And that has reinvigorated something in me about the Pirates because they have won games way differently this year than they did previously with Shelton this year.
Yes.
With Donnie Kelly. So, I knew games like this were going to happen. I think we all knew. We all knew we were going to come back down to earth at some point. But if they could come back out, do they play tonight again?
Probably. Oh, yeah.
If they come back out tonight and they win or something, it's like, okay, like he has something going on. It wasn't just a fluke for the Cincinnati series and the Brewers series.
It doesn't sound like much, but they're 7-9 since Don Kelly took over, which is a considerable improvement. When you consider that they haven't yet won 20 games and mm-hmm. seven of them have come since Donnie Kelly took over. You tweeted something out over the weekend I want to get to in a minute, but Brewers manager Pat Murphy, after the series, said the Pirates have been playing good baseball, playing good defense, playing better in so many aspects. They're playing loose. They're playing free. Donnie's got him in a good spot. And I would agree with that. You tweeted out, and this is a strong take, I have a strong feeling that Don Kelly will go down in history as the manager that saved the Pirates organization. I mean, I'm seeing signs, and people are going to kill us. Oh, don't get too ahead of your skis. Well, I got a take that accompanies that. That's why you got to fire Ben Cherington.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're playing better baseball last night, notwithstanding,
mm-hmm.
they're playing better baseball with Don Kelly. I don't want that to get conflated with, oh, well, when they get healthy
right.
and with Don Kelly, maybe Ben Cherington didn't do that bad of a job. No, he still needs to go. And so I want to see Don Kelly independent of Ben Cherington
yes.
so that that thing does not happen.
Yes.
So that at the end of the season, we don't go, oh, Don had him a couple of games above or below 500. Wow. Let's keep Don Kelly around. And I guess Ben Cherington wasn't that bad. No. Ben Cherington has done a horrific job. Don Kelly might be the man for the job.
Right.
Let's separate the two. Let's get Ben Cherington the heck out of here.
Exactly. Like, give him a competent general manager that will bring in some players that Don Kelly can work with. Clearly, he's getting the most out of the players that Cherington has put out there for him, which aren't, the upper echelon or even the middle of the packed baseball players in Major League Baseball. I said that because I was just thinking. I was like, guys from Mount Lebanon, this is his hometown, played a lot of years in Major League Baseball. Like, this is a great situation, I think, for Don Kelly because the bar's so low. Like, the bar isn't high. It's not set even in the mid area. So, the bar, Like, the bar's so low. Like, all he doesn't have to, if he just goes out there and manages and shows he knows the game and shows that he can get the most out of players that wouldn't start on other major league rosters. If you give him something that's better, what can he do with that? So, and if he does do it with that, then he will be looked at as a guy that's like, man, thank God that Don Kelly was the bench coach and they moved him to the interim role, well, quote unquote, interim role, and gave him a shot and he made the most of it. And now we can actually say that going to Pirates games are fun every once in a while.
That's how low the bar has been set.
And I'm rooting for the guy.
I'm rooting for him too. And that's a reason to watch. Learn about Don Kelly. Root for Don Kelly. O'Neill Cruz right now is a big-time reason to watch. We'll get into him. Paul Skeens commented about the trade speculation over the weekend. So a bunch of Pirate stuff. OTAs today for the Steelers, so we'll get into that. Mark Caboli kind enough to join us today at 8 because he wasn't on yesterday from 9 o'clock until 10. But, man, you're right. The bar has been set so low that, I mean, my take from over the weekend was, oh, they're watchable. And that's nice.
Right.
Like, we can have them on in the background, maybe the foreground, depending on what they're doing. And as long as they're competitive the rest of the way, and they have been under Don Kelly, all right.
Yeah.
All right.
That's nice. It's as broad as it could be from the tweet that I sent out. And I wasn't like, he's not going to be this miraculous manager that leads him to a World Series. I never said that. No, but the bar is very low that if you jump over that bar a little bit, he can be looked at as a manager that saved the Pirates from where they were at a month and a half ago, from the outside looking in, not just on the field, but just as an organization. He could be the guy to be like, oh, okay, we could just actually make things a little bit normal and watchable.
Yeah, I mean, the Reds manager, the Brewers manager had nice things to say about Donnie Kelly, the baseball man, right? Jim Leland believes in him. Gene Lamont's now on the staff. I don't think Gene would be here if Gene didn't believe in him, and people love Gene Lamont around here. And we can't be, and I'm talking about the general we can't be mad when the Pirates don't hire Terry Francona, and then out of the other side of our mouths say, oh, manager doesn't matter. Of course it matters. Mm-hmm. Clint Hurdle did a great job here. Clint Hurdle took the damn Colorado Rockies to the World Series and took the Pirates to the playoffs 3 times. What an underrated manager that guy is.
Yep.
Kind of a goofball freakazoid, I think. No offense to him. Very nice guy. Weirdo, Clint Hurdle. I don't know why I had to throw that out there, but I did. With the right general manager, with the right manager, you can win around here. And maybe Donnie Kelly's the right manager. And that's one of the biggest reasons I'm watching the rest of the way. But I also want to separate his results from Ben Cherington.
Yes.
Because I have a hard time right now. I want to be entertained because I'm going to watch all these games. I don't care what the record is. Love baseball. You love baseball. That's the way it is. It's also our job. Going to watch all these games. I want to see if Don Kelly can do the job. And so far, mostly so good. I think some of the bullpen management's been bad. But I don't want to root for them to win,
right,
if it means that Ben Cherington's going to be kept around. So it's this weird place to be as a Pirates fan. Like, you want them to win so Skeens doesn't get pissed, so O'Neill Cruz doesn't get pissed, so that Don Kelly can get some credit and maybe become the guy. But the more they win, does Bob Nutting look at this situation and go, all right, well, wait a second. We were hurt. We had the wrong manager. Maybe we do have the right pieces in place. Let's keep Ben Cherington around for at least another year. I hope that's not the case.
I hope
it's a dangerous place to be.
It's very dangerous. But I think that would only be the case if they did something very significant, which is just win probably 30 in a row or something like that.
It would have to be extreme.
Extreme for them to, I mean, I would hope, you know, you never know, would hope that they wouldn't make a decision like that unless it was something so drastic that it's like, okay, you know, we can all get on board. All right, yeah, fine. It does look
wow, great. They finished over 500 this year.
Right.
Like, you go on a massive run the rest of the season. There's still so much baseball left to be played. Now, I don't think they're obviously going to finish above 500, but if they did, yeah, you'd have to figure Ben Cherington would be back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So fire him now so that we don't have to deal with that, because it's just, it's unacceptable. It's the day after Memorial Day. You've already been shut out 9 times.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a sizable number if you're shut out 9 times over the course of an 162-game season, let alone, what are we, a quarter of the way through?
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to fire him till the end of the season. Are we? Can we agree on that? I mean, why not just fire him whenever you fired Shelton?
I agree.
Maybe to give some stability to Donnie Kelly? I don't know.
Well, and Bob Nutting told Jason Mackey in that one-on-one with Mackey that he didn't fire Cherington because they still want to be competitive this year. I'm paraphrasing. Well, all right. It's been roughly 20 games since then, and you've been a couple of games under 500 in that time frame. Like, you're only further away from it now than you were before, so you're not competitive. This guy can't make another draft pick, Doran. This guy can't run the deadline.
Right.
And this is a massively important deadline for the Pirates.
But who's going to do it?
Well, right now it would be Cherington, and that just doesn't sit well with me.
Who's going to do it if you fire him, though, is what I'm saying. Like, if we see that he can't run the draft or the deadline, then but who's going to do it?
I'll do it for $80K.
Yeah, well, that's a...
I mean, Mitch Keller could go. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's likely or not, but he could go. David Bednar could go, although you'd be selling kind of at a low point. IKF, Andrew Heaney. I mean, they got a lot of guys that could be on the trade block. And I just don't want to see Ben Cherington make those deals. But you're right. If it's not him, who's the interim GM? And is it just someone from this administration that's not even going to be here? Right. So what the hell do they care about?
Right. Very weird.
It's a bizarre situation.
Mm-hmm.
Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. We got an answer from Paul Skeens about the trade rumors. And I was grilling Noah Hyles. On Friday, I was grilling Mackey because both of them said, oh, we're not asking Skeens about that. Why? That's your job.
Mm-hmm.
It's your job to ask Paul Skeens if he's happy here. It's your job to at least run the rumors by him. Like, you can frame it like this. Hey, Paul, it's kind of weird, no, that there's all these national reports. Like, hey, maybe it would make some sense if the Pirates traded you. What are your thoughts on that? You could do it friendly. You could do it after he pitches well, which he did. Well, Mackey, he manned up. And he asked the questions. It's very important to have asked that. What did Paul say? We'll tell you next. We'll get into O'Neal Cruz. A lot of Steelers on the way as well. Day one of OTAs. Doran, to bring you back?
A little bit.
They're only doing six, not nine.
Yeah. Soft.
What's the high today? It's like 64 degrees.
Yeah, I mean, it's soft. Even... I mean, it's perfect football weather. You're not even hot. Give me a break.
All right, so we got OTAs to talk about the biggest storylines that we're paying attention to.
A couple of... Pirate singles. There's a line drive to right, and Cruz sends this one out of here so quickly, you would never believe it. It's an incredible feat of human strength.
I'm surprised one of those trees isn't lying in the river.
That is the hardest hit ball in known Major League history.
Pretty good from O'Neal Cruz, who is suddenly hot again. He doubled last night, and for the Pirates, if you hit a double in a game, that means you're hot. You can go 1-for-3 with a double, and you are on a roll, my friend. O'Neal Cruz having a breakout season, and we'll get to him coming up in a couple of minutes. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. You can text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm. They always say there's never a fee. Unless we get money for you. It was a long time ago, it feels like now, that Paul Skeens picked up the ball and pitched against Milwaukee on Friday night. But we need to get into this. This is a massive story. All the trade rumors flying left and right from the national media, and Skeens hadn't talked about it yet. Well, he goes out there, he pitches well against Milwaukee. Got a no decision because that's just the way it goes for our guy. But the Pirates did win the game. And then after the game, Jason Mackey talked to him. And here's what Paul Skeens had to say. Quote, when I got drafted, I came in with the intention of winning a World Series here. That hasn't changed. I don't think my days here are numbered by any means. End quote. Thank God. Thank God. I don't think Paul Skeens is the kind of guy who's going to ask out of town. I also don't think Paul Skeens is the kind of guy who's going to sugarcoat anything. I mean, let's think about, as Pirate fans, the best moments of our lives. Like, for people our age, you have 13, 14, and 15. You have the wild card game in 13. Skeens kind of pooped all over that.
Yeah.
This offseason. Yeah. Like, that was nice. Shouldn't we be shooting for something more? This is a guy that's not afraid to say what he's feeling. And so when Paul Skeens says, I came here to win a World Series, I'm not going to be out of here anytime soon. I'm going to take that. And then I'm not going to talk about the national stuff anymore because I buy it. Like, that's not to say that they're going to win a World Series with him or anything like that, but that is his goal, and his days aren't numbered here. And if he were pissed by the way things were going, I'm sure he's not happy, obviously. But if he were pissed about the organization and was going to force his way out of the organization, I feel like that wouldn't have been what he said to Mackey.
Mm-hmm.
And so, for me, that was kind of an exhale moment. We hadn't had him on the record about this stuff. Now we do, and he ain't trying to force his way out of town. And I didn't know how he felt, so I'm happy to hear it.
Well, I always kind of knew, and obviously I don't know him personally, but just from his makeup, that he's not a guy that likes to run away from challenges. And that just stamped it for me right there. I mean, I kind of knew that that's how he felt, but like him saying, like, I came here with the intentions, quote unquote, the intentions of winning a World Series. Well, that just proves that he's not running away from anything. Like, guys that are wired that way, they cannot leave a situation until it's like all cleaned up. It's like leaving your room. It's like cleaning your room up whenever you're younger, but your bed's still not made. It's like everything else is clean, but you still haven't made your bed. Like, you can't leave the room and go do something else until your bed is made.
Unfinished business.
Yes. Like, he's not going to want to run from a situation. Now, I know how just, you know, sports business works. Like, whenever the time does come, like, that's not him running away. That's just what happens. But he's not going to ask to leave until he is probably allowed to leave, if that makes sense. He's not going to just be like, all right, like, I've had enough. I'm sick of this. I don't want to lose anymore. I need out of here. He's never going to do that.
Yeah, they'll probably trade him with a year left on his deal, they were always going to.
Right.
And they need to build around the guy. I'm hoping that there's been enough, and this might just be purely hope, with no reason to believe that this is going to be the case. But I'm hoping there's been enough national embarrassment here, Doran, with all the PR stuff off the field, with how bad the team has performed on the field, with all this Paul Skeen stuff, that finally this is the off season where some of the chips get pushed into the middle of the table.
I hope so.
And I've been saying this. 2 years ago, they spent $35 million in the off season. That's not worthy of throwing a parade for, but $35 million is $20 million more than they spent this off season. And Jason Mackey did the math. They're going to save like $33 million just by players who aren't going to be on the roster next year.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going money in, money out, like Tommy Pham's not going to be here, Adam Frazier's not going to be here, Andrew Heaney's not going to be here, David Bednar, in his estimation, probably unlikely to be here. You're going to have $33 million that you spent this year that you're not going to have on the books for next year. Can you at least spend that kind of money?
Right.
And if you do, I'll piggyback off a point that I heard Pompeiani make yesterday. The Pirates are, 9-10 in one-run games? If they had spent a little bit more money this offseason or identified the correct targets this offseason, could two more bats not make a difference in a lot of these one-run games?
Yeah.
So my hope, and again, it might just be childlike hope, is that they've been embarrassed by the way this season has gone down. You had to fire your manager early on in the year. You're probably going to have to fire your general manager. That you pour some of these resources back into the baseball team. And you can save $33 million without even trading Mitch Keller.
Right.
But if you wanted to trade Keller, like if Bubba Chandler comes up soon and is the guy that you think he can be, and you decide to trade Keller, now you're working with like $50 million. And that's not even new money. Like, I could sit here and scream and beg and pound the microphone. Hey, don't only spend that $33 or that $50. Spend that and the 35 you spent two off seasons ago, and now you're really cooking with gas. But if it's only money out, money in, you can turn this roster over pretty quickly this off season. And with the rotation they have, I don't think you have to be that far away from winning.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Skeen sees that too. But now is when I want Skeen to take that next step. Not now, but in his final press conference of the season, something like that. Like, I hate to put this much on the guy. But he's a star, man. The star of stars. I'd like him in his final press conference say, all right, this is the time. We need to do this.
You want him to do that?
I do. If anybody can do it, it's him.
He can allude to it. Do you want him to straightforward to say, like, we need to get this thing rolling?
I think he needs to say we're not that far away, but we need to make the right moves.
Mm.
And we need to identify the appropriate targets. as much as he can hold their feet to the fire. It was nice to hear from him that he wants to hang out. And it was a big weight off of my chest, personally, as a Pirates fan and a guy that wants to see Skeens stay here for as long as we've always thought Skeens was going to stay here. But now you got to take that leadership role to the next level. You know, Myles Garrett in the NFL puts out a statement, "We're not winning here." Like, he took his situation into his own hands. They wound up paying him. I want to see Paul Skeens take this situation into his hands, not to force a trade, but to say, hey, now's the time.
Got to get some guys here.
Have you seen what I'm doing, Bob?
Right.
Have you seen what I'm doing? Not Ben Cherington, GMX. I think he needs to publicly say, at the end of the year, we only got a couple more years of me here. We all understand the economics of baseball. Let's go now.
Mm-hmm.
Because Bob Nutting has said, oh, we're trying to build. Okay. Now's the damn time. Last year was the time. Well, that's in the rearview mirror. You got to get it done. You got to get it done. And I tweeted this out the second that Paul Skeens, you know, I think he had thrown five games in the big leagues. So long as Skeens is here, this is the best chance the Pirates have to win the World Series in our lifetimes. When you can start a rotation with that guy and Chandler and Keller and Jared Jones, hopefully here soon, that's the best rotation. We're going to see if we all lived a normal United States American men life expectancy. Yep. This is the best chance.
Yep.
So pour freaking resources into this thing. And then if you want to tear it down afterwards and spend like $12 on the roster, okay, fine, do it. That's what the Marlins had done.
Yeah.
I paid Giancarlo Stanton all that money and try to win and spend all kind of money. It doesn't work. And then you trade guys off and you take it all the way down to the studs. I'm fine with it, but build now.
How do you feel about him saying that? And then there's the process of getting the new general manager. Like, would you like that being said, that bar being set so high by your star player?
Hell yeah.
And then you come in here and you have the task of appeasing him, but also putting this roster together?
I think this is a desirable place for a general manager to land. And people are going to
really
think I'm, yeah, they're going to think I'm crazy. You think I'm crazy. I can tell by your tone there. You think I'm crazy. You've got the bones of one of the best starting rotations in Major League Baseball. You have the number two pitching prospect, the number two prospect overall, in fact, in Major League Baseball, that's going to make his debut any day now. And you pair that guy with Paul Skeens and Mitch Keller, and Oviedo just picked up a baseball. That's right, baby.
You also have leeway, too, to mess up.
That's right, buddy. You could do absolutely jack crap for 6 years, and you can hang out. You can buy Ben Cherington's old place.
Yep.
For real. I mean, I do think that's a selling point. Hey, you can screw around for 6 years. You still got a job. I think if the right GM had been in place this offseason, you're looking at like Austin Hayes in left field.
Yes.
And Lux, and you might have been looking at Rhys Hoskins at first base. I think maybe if you had a general manager with eyes a couple of years ago, maybe that guy's your first baseman right now. Like, even with the minuscule budget, I think the right GM could have this team contending with this starting staff.
I agree with that.
So I'd like to see Skeens say some of these things at the end of the year. Like, that's what stars do. You know, Ben never had a problem coming on this radio station and saying how he felt about the way this organization was operating. And when your star shines that bright, there's responsibility beyond just holding the ball every fifth day. And the discourse, I think, can lead perhaps Bob Nutting to that viewpoint. But I think if the guy himself, Paul Skeens, comes out at the end of the year and says what everyone's thinking and what he's thinking, I think that's the next step towards pushing this thing in the right direction. Maybe I'm wrong. Texter, Crowley, you're talking insane. Thank you. I mean, they won with Neil Huntington, for God's sakes. All right. Pirates have another star, and his name is O'Neill Cruz. He hit a ball 123 miles an hour the other day. No player in recorded human history has ever hit a ball that hard. Has he arrived? He is on the precipice of history. We'll get into all of it. Can the Pirates pay him? Yeah, we'll get into that too.
A couple of Pirate singles. There's a line drive to right, and Cruz sends this one out of here so quickly, you would never believe it. It's an incredible feat of human strength.
surprised one of those trees isn't lying in the river.
That is the hardest hit ball in known Major League history.
I think there's a chance that was the hardest hit baseball in history, Doran.
Yeah.
I know Bonds and McGuire and Sosa and the steroids, allegedly, and all that back in the day. Like, those guys are hitting some balls pretty damn hard. Like, when McGuire hit his 70th, that thing got out of there in, like, half a second.
Yeah.
And it hit off the facing of the Busch Stadium, like, concourse, and oh my God, like, maybe that was 123 miles an hour. But I think there's a reasonable argument to be made that's the hardest hit ball in human history. Guys are bigger and stronger now. Pitchers are throwing harder than ever, which means if you barrel one up, it's going to come out faster. That's just physics, right, Doran?
Yep.
And O'Neill Cruz is on pace to hit 32 homers this year. He's on pace to steal damn near 60 bags, which means that a 40-40 season is a possibility here. Only six guys in Major League Baseball history have ever stolen 40 bases the same year they've hit 40 home runs. I'm going to run that by Callis in a second here. I wonder if you guys can guess who's done it.
Mm-hmm.
But now the conversation has come full circle on Cruz. Can you pay the guy? Can you give him like 8 years, $200 million? The Pirates have never gotten even in that stratosphere. Brian Reynolds signed the $100 million deal, and for them, that was a lot of money. In the grand scope of Major League Baseball, that's not that much. If the Pirates wanted to, they could absolutely give O'Neill Cruz 8 years, $200 million. But this is an argument you've used in the past, Doran, and I'm actually on it right now, and a texter writes in. Here's where your math is going to math. You want to extend Cruz and build around Skeens. Cruz is under control the next 3 years. Every dollar added to a new contract is less they'll be able to add to roster to build around Skeens.
Yeah.
I can't pay him.
Mm-mm.
And I argued, I think it was like the day he came up, yeah, give him that Wander Franco deal. Look, he's going to be a star if he's not a star already. I mean, 40, it's only happened six times in Major League Baseball history. I'm not paying him.
Would he take that too, though?
It'd be $25 million a year if it were 8 years and $200 million.
Would that be what his market would say? Like, was that his agents are looking around? Like, is that his worth, 25 a year? I would say no. I think that somebody like O'Neill Cruz would think that he would be worth more.
I think if you did it right now, right this very second, that would be the lowest, is $25 million a year, $200 million. If he does go 40-40 this year, or even if he goes 35-40 or 32-40 or whatever, and he does it again next year, no, that's way short, mm-hmm, of what he could make on the open market. And he's going to be a free agent in 3 years. Like, after this season, you have 3 years of arbitration control. I don't even think it's worth sitting down and discussing with him. I want to build around Skeens, and if it's $25 million for that guy, or $25 million sprinkled around your roster while you already have that guy, like,
right,
paying him this money,
it doesn't
make your team any better. It would for the 5 years after he'd be gone, but you're not going to have Skeens then, and you're going to actually at that point have Connor Griffin come up, and it'd be nice to have those guys together, but we have to understand how the Pirates operate. I'll go against what I've been saying for the longest time here. I can't pay O'Neill Cruz.
No.
He's a joy to watch right now. He's a reason to turn the game on because he does play every day and he's that captivating. And when he gets on base, you know he's going. And that ball he hit the other day, thank God it landed in the river. I'm not even joking. That would have taken somebody's head off.
Yeah.
None of us have ever seen a ball leave the yard that quickly. That was something to behold. Like, I've watched that replay so many times. You don't even see the ball. It's insane.
Yeah, I couldn't even find it.
I could not, like, oh, landed in the river. I guess we'll just take your word for it,
because
I didn't see it land.
That's exactly how I thought. I was like, oh, they must have saw something, because I didn't see anything.
I didn't see Jack. Just the trees laying there in the Allegheny. So I can't pay him. But what say you at 412-928-9370 on the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. I wish the realities were different and that you could build around Skeens and pay this guy. But unless, Like, here's how you would do it. You'd have to move Mitch Keller out, and you'd have to move Key Brian Hayes out, which I guess isn't the worst thing. And Keller could fetch you, you would think, a sizable return, if not a one-for-one swap with a good hitter. Like, if you're going to do it, you'd have to do that. So maybe that's realistic, but I just don't know that you're adding enough around Paul Skeens if you're also paying this guy $200 million.
Right. Right.
412-928-9370. You guys know the six guys who have gone 40-40?
I could name you five.
Ricky Henderson.
That would have been my guess too, Doran.
No. He's not in it?
Nope.
He's not.
One of his teammates though, from the A's.
Time out.
You want Doran to go first?
You can go. I ain't gonna
get it. Did just go first, but I wanted to see if Ricky Henderson had come close.
He had to, right?
Most homers he hit in a season was 28.
Oh, no. Wow.
I would have thought that he was on it too, Doran.
Wow.
He stole 65 bases and hit 28 homers in 1990. Oh, my God. Which was year 11 of his career. What a player.
Okay, pick me.
You can name five?
Jose Canseco?
Yes.
Barry Bonds.
Timeout. Canseco did it in 1988. Mm-hmm. Bonds did it in 1996.
Alfonso Soriano.
See, I would never have got that one, but you are correct.
Alex Rodriguez.
1998.
Shohei Ohtani.
2024. He stole 50 bases.
Wow.
He went 50-50.
Yeah, that is absurd. Decent little player, that Shohei Ohtani.
He's the first and only in history to go 50-50.
He's also throwing bullpens now.
I saw that.
So he'll come back. He'll be pitching too. He went 50-50.
Who's the sixth?
Who's the last?
He's playing currently.
Okay, who's the sixth?
He's an active player.
Okay, that's 26 times 30. Yeah. No, it's not Judge.
Not Judge, no.
Hmm.
He just came back from injury, hit a homer the other day. Ronald Acuna Jr., 40-40 in 2023.
Wow. Yeah,
I never would have got Soriano. I definitely blanked on Acuna. But Ohtani, Acuna, Soriano, Rodriguez, Bonds, Canseco, and our guy O'Neill Cruz has a chance to become the seventh guy this season. He's hit 32 homers, so he's got to pick up that pace a little bit, but he's on pace for like 60 steals, which is crazy. And this is his first full season in the bigs. I guess last year, but he's still in his infancy. He's still developing. So I'd love to have this guy for 8 years, $200 million, but I'd rather win. 412-928-9370. Texter.
Are you impressed that I knew things?
You didn't get them all.
Okay.
So you failed.
I'm not impressed. You're a baseball guy. You should know that.
Speaking of which, remember when the PM guys were crushing Bechtold for not being able to name 579 Pirates? We quizzed Callis with those same questions on Friday. He got damn near the entire lineup.
Did he?
Damn near the entire pitching staff. Callis had it all figured out.
Oh, I can't wait for Thursday. That's back, baby.
It's back.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
We went right into his wheelhouse, and he absolutely nailed it.
Yep.
He was Mel-odding.
See, this is what I like. I like praise more than scrutiny, yes.
As we all should.
Keep it up.
You keep it up. You do a good job, we'll tell you.
Yep.
It just happens so infrequently.
Right.
Mm-hmm. All right, coming up next, your reaction to us saying, don't pay O'Neill Cruz at 412-928-9370. And then Mulsey destroyed Austin Bechtold and intern Dom in a way that I've never heard anybody get destroyed on these airwaves. You all got to hear this coming up next. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Jeff Hathorn going to be joining us at the top of the hour. It's a big day. Steelers OTAs. Woo! No Aaron Rodgers. So what are the biggest storylines in OTAs? We'll get to that at the top of the hour with Jeff. Someone texts in and says, Crowley, one of the stupidest stats in baseball's exit velocity. Who cares if Cruz hits a ball 400 feet at 50 miles an hour or 150 miles an hour? It's still a home run. That stat doesn't matter. If you look at, just quick answer here, if you look at the guys who hit the ball that hard, Like all the StatCast, right?
Mm-hmm.
Top 50 hardest hit balls. It's all the best players in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
The harder you hit a ball, the better chances of it being a double, a homer, or finding some grass out there. So, yeah, I've said that before, too.
Me, too.
But, you know, the harder you hit it and the frequency with which you hit it that hard, it matters because you're going to put up some big numbers if you're routinely hitting the ball hard.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Mulsey just with a friggin' howitzer, guys.
Yeah, what is this about?
All right. Here we go. So, I'm going to read this real quick. Do you yell at the radio while listening to us because you think you could do better? Of course you do. Well, we have an opportunity for you to try and prove it. Come out to the Upper St. Clair Volunteer Fire Department on Thursday, June 5th from 7 to 9 p.m. Take part in our next Up on the Fan talent search. We're going to multiple locations this summer to try to find the next top host in Pittsburgh. We'll pick two winners from each location, and we'll go to one final winner, and that person will be the newest part-time talent added to our roster here at 93.7 The Fan. For more information, including dates and locations, visit 93.7thefan.com. So they were talking about this on the PM team, I guess, on Thursday. And, well, Austin Bechtold and intern Dom, they get crushed here by Mulsey.
If all of our current fan hosts were doing this and actually jockeying for a job, do you know who I think the finals would come down to, Donnie? Be the guy across from me versus nope. Crowley, believe it or not.
I think it would be Austin Bechtold versus intern Dom. I had really? Somebody say to me today,
is that so?
Intern Dom or Austin Bechtold, one of them will be the next Colin Cowherd, and we'll see who's going to win the race to get there.
Did this person sign it to you because they're deaf?
Oh, man.
No, that was mean. I like both of them.
What? Why do you take him out like that?
I mean, I haven't heard somebody take another shot. Somebody take a shot at another person on the station that way in, I don't know, our entire time?
Yeah.
Being on here?
Wow.
Did that person sign it to you because they must be deaf?
That is... Man, not a big fan of Bechty and maybe intern Dom having too much time with him. Wow. Well, this is up Mulsey's alley because this is his deal, right?
This is how Mulsey got his start.
So he's going to be real, like, he's going to be champion this probably deal that we got going on that, you know, you could be like me.
I think it should be like American Idol. Or who was it? What's the guy's name? Jennings?
Ken Jennings? Yeah.
Who took over Jeopardy?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like Mulsey should host this whole thing.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. But, I mean, if you think of a Chris Mueller doing this, what, how many years ago? Over 15 years ago. And you think about Bechtold whenever he first started. I don't know. I don't know how. I think Bechtold might get Mueller.
Really?
Yeah, initially, if they put them both back whenever they first started.
So you take Mulsey at his infancy.
Uh-huh.
And you take Bechty at his, and you have them go head-to-head, you think that Bechtold comes out on top.
Maybe. Or I'm Dom, too. I just told you offline when we first walked in here how impressed I was about
Dom. Dom's been putting in the innings
yep.
of late, and he's doing a great job. I love that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Love Bechty, too.
Yeah.
Texter, Austin will be the next big thing. He's really great on the radio. How about this?
Yep.
And you got other people texting in, hashtag Team Dom. And here's one more. I don't have to read this, but I've decided that I'm going to. Why can't the contest be for the next person to replace Harry Callis?
He's just shaking his head.
I mean, one day that could be the case. One day, anybody out there could be replacing any one of us. Probably not Doran.
Am I not the most interesting person on earth, though? I have a van. I ran for council. That's about it, actually.
That's where you stopped. Yeah, I thought the laundry list was right. going to come out there. I thought you were going to start listing all the things that make you cool, and I right. think you may have.
I mean, do you play, what, Coob?
Hey, I'm playing in a baseball game for charity. That's fun against an Ireland team.
That June is 7th. Fun. It is cool.
I lost almost 50 pounds here. Or over 50 pounds now. Yeah, it has been a while. Yeah, I lost over 50 over the month. Yeah, there you go.
Very interesting. Yeah. This is all interesting stuff. Like, wow. Really, really doing it, Callis. You're really stepping outside the box here. Very interesting.
I know about baseball.
Wow, that's even more. That's so impressive. Jeez. Yeah.
How's your ego doing? Doran just lit you up, man.
What?
You all right?
What are you talking about?
He just took you out, saying you're not interesting at all. I didn't say anything.
He didn't actually say I wasn't interesting. He was saying, wow, you're interesting. That's the exact words he said, Crowley. Who are you? You wear glasses now. That makes you interesting?
Texter, they both have awful takes. Harry is more entertaining than both of them.
Hooray!
All right, Jeff Hathor, more interesting than all of us combined. He's going to join us coming up next. First day of OTAs. What is Mr. Hathorn going to be keeping his eye on today when these guys run around basically not wearing pads or playing real football? We'll get to that. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Bang.